Good evening, everyone. This is Deacon Holmes here. Hope everyone is having a blessed day and had a blessed time during this coronavirus. And ready for the study. I know we miss everyone being together. That's a whole difference being together than it is doing it electronically. So we understand truly the difference at this point in time. But we'll just look at it and take the blessing out of what is in. So I won't keep you on here long because I know electronically it's different than being in person. You don't have that energy and that feedback. So I can only hold your attention for so long. So what we will be talking about tonight will be the book of St. John. St. John, it will be chapter 1. St. John, chapter 1. And before we enter into that, I'll do a brief prayer, and then we will proceed. Almost gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you right now as long as we know how. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity, Lord God, to be in good health enough to teach your holy word and to learn your holy word. We ask you, Lord God, that you would bless every heart, every mind, every soul that is on this line, Lord God, that they may be receptive to receive your word. And when we receive your word, not only be hearers, but doers of your holy word. Ask your blessings upon our shepherd of our flock, our pastor and his family, Lord God. Continue to lift him up, Lord God, during this period. And bless our whole congregation that one day we all will come back again in good graces, Lord God, and in good health. We ask you, Lord God, for understanding. We ask you, Lord God, for discernment. We ask you blessings in your precious Son, Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Again, we're going to be coming tonight from the book of St. John, chapter 1. St. John, chapter 1. And in this particular book, John begins, you know, talking about John the Baptist. So you're going to be hearing that interchangeably when it's saying John. But it's a different John here, and he's talking about John the Baptist is where this story is going. And what John the Baptist is basically stating in a summation is that Jesus is the incarnated word of God that brings us grace and brings us truth. He's replacing the law, you know, the law that was given by Moses. Jesus came into the world to fulfill that law, not to replace that law, but to fulfill it. And it opens up, you know, you got John the Baptist that's identifying himself, you know, in regards to Isaiah's prophecy, saying that he was coming to prepare the way for the Lord. That was the purpose of Moses. That was the purpose of John the Baptist, is preparing the way of the Lord. And indeed, that we're going to meet Jesus one day, is what John testifies as. Is that Jesus is God. He's going to come forth in a different manner than the other gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when they go into a little bit more detail of some of the things on how Jesus got here and things of that sort. But what we're doing here now is looking over the story of John. He tells how John the Baptist tells his way of how things are going. So what we're going to do here, I'll be coming out of the King James Version. I'm not saying this is how we will always do it. I thought this would be best at this time. And there's a lot of our verses in here, so we're going to be going pretty swiftly. Hopefully you kind of read up and be able to go from here on your own. So I would quickly read just this first part because it's really important, you know, from the syllabus or the manual that we have, and also to get the understanding of what this book is pretty much about. And it states, and starting in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, in saying all of that, to break this down, a lot of it is right here in John 1 through 3. So pretty much some of the key verses here. When we talk about in the beginning was the Word, the claims that the Word is someone who can be referred to as him, if we look in there. He was with God. He was God. He existed in the beginning, and everything was made through him. It keeps pointing out that God was right here. Jesus was right here from the beginning. Jesus is God as well. You know, he got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all one in Trinity. So that's what John is trying to bring over to us in this particular chapter, in this verse here. If you keep pointing out and trying to nail it down who God, Jesus, really is. He talks about it in the beginning, because if you go to Genesis 1 and 26, he even has it in there where he says, and God said, let us make man in our own image. That lets you know right there that Jesus was right there with God at that time during the creation of Adam. Okay, so we have a lot of proof in there, and that's what John is trying to put over rather than tell all of these other stories. His key point is here, as far as to know and believe that Jesus came from heaven and demonstrated that Jesus is God, okay? And the Spirit with God was just hovering all over the face of the waters. Now, if we go here in John 1, 6 through 8, what we're covering here is, when you're talking about we're referring to John the Baptist, and you see John in there, we're referring to John the Baptist. He came to bear witness of the light, and that light is Jesus, to let him know that the light was coming to shine through darkness. And that darkness was a misunderstanding. That darkness was sin, because as we had that law, we weren't good enough to live all aspects of that law. As you know, as the Pharisees, a lot of people that he's talking to here, they were trying to follow the words of the law, but not the spirit of the law. Therefore, Jesus had to come down here and go our bond. And so we have other people bearing that witness right here today. If you any believer and you're telling someone else about Jesus, you are bearing witness. Like the pastors, the preachers, deacons, teachers, or whomever, we're here to bear witness of that light, just like John the Baptist did in this study. Now, if we look at John 9 through 11, what he's saying is, in that particular one, he's talking about the Israelites here. But he's saying that true light came, and he came to his own did not receive him. The Israelites, the Jews, didn't receive him. Sometimes you can be a stranger in your own neighborhood, in your own backyard. People don't want to believe that's who you are. It might be because they've seen who you were prior to you, turning your life over to Christ. Or it just could be that you're just too close to them. But they were expecting something spectacular in this, and here to be their king. And as you know, on the cross, it said, King of the Jews, Jesus, King of the Jews. They were looking for something more royal back then, not for someone to come in swaddling clothes and born in a manger there in some barn. That's not what they were looking for. So the Israelites did not receive Jesus as God. But he, later on in this world, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That is ridiculous. You know, when you look around and people that you love, people that you care about, people that have seen you do good things. But for some reason, they don't want to accept all that. They still want to look at who you were. And I said, look here in John 12 through 13, they're talking about the bloodline of Jesus. And if you look here, it doesn't, when it says here, but as men received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those believing in his name, who were born not of blood. Jesus was not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, meaning that it wasn't from the regular human conception with a man and a woman. It wasn't brought, he didn't come into the world that way, nor of the will of man. It wasn't had anything to do with man, had nothing to do with bringing Jesus into this world, but of God. And he descended from Abraham. So we got to keep that in mind. When he said he's the son of man, there was no, you know, although Mary bore him, but it was now no conception in a sense, no human conception there. So he's Jesus' son, so he's the son of man, the son of God. And as we go down a little bit further, we're going to look in John 1:14, where the word became flesh. And I kind of alluded to that earlier, when he came down from heaven, and he came down here on earth, and he was born in the flesh of man. So he can go through some of the same things that we go through. So when he make it to that cross, when he's saying he's dying for our sin, he know what it's all about. He knew what we went through down here. All of the backbiting down here, people talking about you, people just doing bad things, sin, in every sense of the word. Jesus went through all that. He got beaten and all types of things, got talked about, spit on. So the things that we go through today, when people are doing things that they might not spit on us, but they would disrespect us in some sort of way due to our beliefs, due to the way that we live our lives, due to the way that we carry ourselves, things of that sort. It could be sometimes even the things that you may have. You know, people become envious of you, become jealous of you. Jesus was aware of all that. All the temptations that we come about, Jesus was tempted himself. And so when he came out and became flesh, he went through everything that he would need to go through to get up to that ultimate moment when he had to give up his life for us. He knows. So we can't come later on saying that he was born with a silver spoon in his hand and things of that sort. But God came down here, and he became a human being in the flesh, but still spiritual, still spiritual. And as we go into John 15 through 17, what it's talking about here is talking about the law as it was given to Moses, the Ten Commandments. But the grace and the truth came through Jesus Christ. We had the words back then. We had the way that we should have been living. But in a sense, we just didn't know how to live those words. We didn't know how to put those things in action. It's easy to just, you know, take a direction and just read the direction straight down and get nothing out of it. You just put a check mark saying, I did this. But how did you feel in doing that? It's just like in the giving. When it says give, In the spirit of thanksgiving, be a joyful giver, be a cheerful giver. It's easy, you can walk around there and drop your money in the plate, but that's not what God wants. He wants to be a cheerful giver. Okay, that is a ministry and a blessing in itself. And so that's what the difference was between the law and what we're living in right now, which is under grace, is that it's all about the spirit. God left it that comforter out here for us, which is the spirit. And we go a little bit further down here in John 18, and I'm moving swiftly here, is that no one has ever seen God. No one. He's the only begotten Son. He's one of a kind. No one else has been brought into this world like Jesus. I mean, no one. He's one of a kind, the only begotten Son of the Father. And what John the Baptist did coming down there, he came to make him known, come to make Jesus known, is what John the Baptist was doing here, to make us know that God, the Father of Jesus, God is the Father of Jesus. Now, what else do we have in here? We look back in what we just stated, just kind of sum up a little bit of that, Jesus is someone who we can refer to as he or him. He's the only begotten Son of the Father. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus existed in the beginning, and everything that was made through him. In order for us to get to heaven, we have to go through Jesus. That's why when we pray, we ask his name, we say, in the name of Jesus. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator in between us and the Father. So everything was made through Jesus. He's the one that's in control of us in order for us to get to where we want to go. He's a one of a kind. He's an on-time God. He's a strong God. He is spiritual. Jesus is God. He came down here to live with us in mankind. He came in human form. He did all that for 30 years. 30 years just hanging out with us. His ministry actually, you know, didn't go all that long, but he just stayed around here for 30 years, and those last 3 years he did his thing. But he always was and remained the creator, God. Through all of that, he still was the creator. Now, we're going to go a little bit further here if we move over to the next section that we have here, and we're talking about Christ and his works. Christ and his works. Now, in this particular section, we're looking at the testimony of John the Baptist. Well, the Jews had sent priests that had questions for Jesus. And he was sent by the Pharisees while John, they had seen John out there baptizing and things of that sort. And they wanted to know, what is this thing, Jesus? Who is this guy? And he said, look in John 20-22. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed. And that's when they were asking John the Baptist. They were thinking that he was the Christ. They were thinking he was Elias and all of that. And he confessed. He did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then are you, Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Therefore they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to one who sent us, which was the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the ones who sent the guys down there to question John the Baptist as to who he was. Now, Moses had come before him. He had delivered the Jews from bondage in Egypt and all of that, and he was prophesying about one who would deliver them from their bondage to sin. You know, Moses left. Moses wasn't able to continue on. He did his part, and now John the Baptist is doing his part. And then they want to know, you go down a little bit further, then why do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, or the prophet? Said, why are you out here baptizing people? And he said, I baptize in the water, but there's one that's going to come later. It will be among you. You don't even know him yet, but he's going to baptize you in the Spirit. And when that person comes, you let him know he's not even able or worthy to even just handle his sandal straps, really. And as you know, that's one of the lowly things to do because your feet was always dirty from, you know, the mules, donkeys, and camels and things walking around in that sand. So the guys walking around in their feet and ankles, everything was always real dirty, real filthy. So for you to wash someone's feet, it was really an humble or low rate job to do. And he's letting them know right there, he's humbled himself and saying he's not even worthy to do that in terms of loosening Jesus' foot strap. So that's what we need to do even as believers, as leaders. We can't take all the credit on ourselves. We're here as leaders, or we're here as servants for Christ. We're disciples for Christ. It's the reason that we are here. And so through this word here, we can learn a lot from John the Baptist, meaning that don't take on facades on that you're bigger than thou when there's someone greater, someone who's waking you up in the morning, someone who's giving you the activities of your limb, The ones who gave you a tongue and enables you to talk, because you can have a tongue and not be able to talk. But Jesus has that power, and he has that healing power as well. So that's what John the Baptist was getting over to them. He's saying that God, when he comes in, being that he's baptizing them with the Spirit, God will be the one who will take away the sins of the world. So when he baptized them in the water, that's only a signification that you have accepted God. So when we baptize people, the saving has already happened prior to that. This is just a signal to the world that I have given my life to Christ. So if you're ashamed before men, God will be ashamed of you before his Father. So that's what he's placing out here. That's the reason why we have the water baptism. But the spiritual baptism happened way before the water baptism. We got to keep that in mind. We don't want to get that mixed up, because sometimes you're not even able to get to the water baptism. It could be for some medical condition, or you could die prior to that. Okay, so anything could happen. So that's what he's differentiating, the difference between the water and the Spirit. And again, John the Baptist is stating here, and if you get a little bit further down here in verse 31, when John was again humbling himself, he said in 33, I did not know him. He didn't know him, but he, God the Father, who sent me to baptize in water, said to me, upon whom he would see a spirit. It's going to be a spirit descending. It will be like a dove. It's going to land on him. And that's how they would know that he is the Son of God. That would be a signal to the people around. And he can point them out that this is the Son of God whom the Spirit has laid upon, who that dove, Spirit, just like a dove, had landed on his shoulder. God would be able to point out people who are the right people. God has a way. So if you're a leader and he gives you the vision, you would see it. And so you'll be able to tell others along the way what's coming before them. They might not see it. You've been following all along. They might not see it, but he's going to give you the knowledge. He's going to give you the wherewithal to be able to dispense of his word and show people and point people in the right direction. That's the power of God, and that's the power of true servant leadership as well. And so as we continue on in here, and it says, like, what is the meaning of our baptism today? And we'll stay on that just a little bit. What's the meaning of the baptism today? Again, it's an outward acknowledgement. It's just an outward acknowledgement of having been saved by Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the penalty of death. He paid it for our sin. And all we have to do is believe. And that's what John is all about. He's trying to get us, we have to believe. Believe that Jesus, he came, he died, and he got up, and he's still living. We got to believe in Jesus, and we will be saved. There's a lot of stories out there, but we have to believe that Jesus can do what no one else can do. No matter what situation you are in, God is able to take you out of those situations. Regardless of what problem comes your way, God can solve that problem, because he is a problem solver. And you'll see in here, as it gets towards the end, I think I got a couple more minutes here, that also in this chapter is when he starts selecting his disciples in here. His disciples were also selected in here as John the Baptist letting them know what was coming. His disciples were also selected in here as well, who's going to be the ones that's going to follow Jesus. Because John the Baptist had disciples as well, and some other leaders around it, they had disciples or helpers, as you want to put them, as well. Jesus was not the only one that had disciples. So as we wrap this thing up, it's all about who God is. That's what John is trying to get over to us in this particular lesson, is Jesus came from heaven. Jesus came from heaven. Everything that was created by him. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are one. So we can use it interchangeably. You want to say God, you want to say Jesus. Everything has to go through Jesus. He is our mediator. He is our strength. He is our wherewithal. He is our guide. We can't call on anyone else. John the Baptist let us know right here that we can call on Jesus. It's good to have our leaders here, and we need them for mentorship. We need them for guidance until we get at a certain faith level where we can understand and do things on our own. But the ultimate thing to remember is that Jesus is the one who provides for us all. Regardless of who they are that's pointing you, whether it's your pastor, whether it's an associate, whether it's a deacon, whether it could be your parents or anyone along those lines who are pointing you in a spiritual way, God is the one who's providing them the knowledge. God is the one who's providing them the guidance. John is trying to get over to us by using this story here on John the Baptist is to let us know who God, who Jesus really is, and where how he got here. And he was here from the beginning. It was none of this when he was born there in the manger as the Messiah. That was not Jesus. That was not his first time. He wasn't just actually being really born at that time. It was just another birth. But Jesus was here a long time before that. He was here from the beginning, right along with God, and everything happened in that sense. So hopefully that will give you some light on this story here about Jesus and how he came to be where he originated from before he started his walk down here on earth, and that it wasn't just something that happened and that we are celebrating Christmas from that particular birth, but that John is trying to tell us in this first chapter that God was here from the beginning. And John the Baptist was just another tool, a servant, just like Moses, to let us know what was coming after. So you look at John the Baptist, you know, it could be John the Forerunner. It could be John the Immerser. It could be John the Baptizer. But John is a key figure here in this. John the Baptist is a key figure here in this story. And it's a leadership servant type of story, a true servant leadership type of story. And the way John tells his story in here, it's different from the way that the other gospels or gospel fold was told from the stories that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the way they told theirs. John is more precise and lets want us to know and build on our belief that everything starts there from the heart, from the belief, from the knowing that Jesus is God, that Jesus is our all in all. Everything that is came here because of Jesus. He's right there in the beginning. There was nothing before him. That's the key, and hopefully we can use that as a linchpin as we go forth further and to the other lessons here that we can build upon, and even throughout the other studies that we have from here on out, knowing the origination of Jesus. That's what I got out of this John the 1. It was all about origination of Jesus, that he is the beginning. And so when we read that from now on out, especially when we read that first verse, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now we know what the definition of the Word is. That word means Jesus. The Word means Jesus. And so you can just restate it. Not that I'm trying to change the Bible or anything along those lines. But in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. I know sometimes it can seem like it can get a little confusing when you're using God interchangeably like that, but it's all one. It's all one. God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all one in Trinity. God bless you. May God keep you. The 30 minutes is up, and I know it's probably all that you can take, but hopefully As time progressed, soon, sooner than later, that we all will get back together so we can have corporate study. But until then, we want to make sure that we can provide something there to give you a little bit to carry along with you, because our director of education has worked hard along with the pastor on these studies. So we don't want them just to go down. So please stick to your studies, whether we have this weekly thing or not. Still look at your syllabus or your study guide and study the lessons that are provided to us to study. So may God keep you. May God bless you, is my wish. And everyone have a great evening. Goodbye.